you aren't being a proper woman, therefore you must be a witch. You must be a witch.
We first met Jackie Beaumont when White Feather Hunter invited us to her lab to meet her coven of witches and the magic and science that they create there. I absolutely can't wait to have White Feather back on the mic when she returns to Montreal later this summer. So definitely keep an eye out for that. She's the original witch in a lab, and I can't wait to hear about the travels that she's been on, spreading her bold, audacious witchcraft. But I wanted to talk to Jackie about something specific that we touched on in that Imbolc episode. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out, and I put it in the show notes for this episode. And that's just this notion of womanhood. Jackie, as an artist, scientist, and trans woman, I think has a very important perspective on what it means to be a woman in 2019. We talked for a long time, so I split the episode into two parts. Both are available right now. So here's part one of my conversation with Jackie Beaumont.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Beaumont. People also call me Jackie. I am a BFA student at Concordia University in Fibers and Material Practices, as well as a member of the Milieu Institute in the Speculative Biolab. So that's probably where, hopefully, a few of you have heard of me before.
Yes. I'm just going to interrupt real quick for our listeners who don't know. Jackie was on our Imbolc special, where we spoke to her and a couple other her coven members in the lab at Concordia University. The episode was wildly successful, so I'm going to assume that a lot of people who are listening to this have heard that. If you have not, I will put a direct link to that episode in the show notes for this episode so that you can get all caught up on what we're talking about here. Carry on with your intro, please, Jack.
Yeah. So I'm a bio artist. I'm a fiber artist. I do performance.
I'm going to stop you again because I'm going to assume that a lot of our listeners don't know what a bio artist is or does.
Yeah. So a bio artist is an artist where our medium is biotechnology. We work with the medium of life.
Medium of life. Are y'all hearing that?
Yeah.
Life is a medium.
Yeah. Some people have referred to it as, like, Michelangelo had the chisel, and bioartists have the gene. So
G-E-N-E.
Yes, the G-E-N-E. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a very rudimentary introduction to bioart. Mm-hmm. So we in bioart, we work with anything from bacteria to cellulose to phytology or algae.
Blood,
tissue. Mycology, all of that stuff. So it's a really cool intersection where art and science meet. And luckily for me and my little coven up at the lab, we also have it interjecting with spirituality and sort of like connecting to the earth, not just on a biological level, but on a more spiritual level. Ooh. So
you're doing your BFA, which is Bachelor of Fine Art. How did you get into the lab?
Yeah. Basically, I just kind of tried my best and just like worked, and I started to talk to a few people, and they're like, oh, wow, you really need to go and try and talk to the Milieu people, see if you can get in. And so I got introduced into the Textiles and Materiality Cluster, which is where I still am. And then basically through me talking to people, I got introduced to Alex. So yeah, that's kind of how I got introduced to the Milieu Institute, and since then I've just been... practically live in that building, so I don't really leave.
When I interrupted you, you were about to say you're also a performance artist.
Yes.
Get into that a bit.
Yeah, definitely. So performance for me is it's an extension of my it's an extension of my performative body. It's an extension of my expressiveness as a queer body in space, but also I think in terms of like what I use it for, it's very my performances are very ritual based, so they do come from a place of, if I'm performing as something else, I'm performing as an entity, like a non-human entity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
not so much persona as
exactly
a creature sona.
Yeah, exactly. So That's where I kind of started dabbling into drag culture. Mm-hmm. And I've been performing, and I'm using air quotations here, drag.
Yeah.
For a few months now, actually, almost a year now. And for our
listeners who don't know, you are a trans woman.
Yes, I am a trans woman. That is also the hot topic.
What we're talking about. Drag as a trans person is obviously a different.
Very,
animal.
Very different. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. I've never really wanted to perform as a hyper glamazon. Just this beautiful essence that is like a hyperized version of femininity.
The Miss Universe pageant.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I've never really identified with that. I do appreciate it to its fullest potential,
sure.
But I think that there's so many different ways that drag can express itself. Mm. And so for me, I use it as an extension of my spiritual practice. I use it as a way to help to sort of embody a more political side to my spirituality as well, where I can show the damage that humanity is doing to the earth in a more performance based way, where I am embodying her and
her
then
being the earth.
The earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do a lot of performance based pieces around that spirit.
Can you describe like what an audience member might actually be seeing?
Yeah, for sure. One of my more recent ones was one that I did for a party called Unicorn, mm-hmm. UNIKORN. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic party that me and my friends are doing in Montreal here, and it's very multidisciplinary in terms of what drag you're going to see, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. It's not just, again, those hyper glamazons that are singing along to Katy Perry.
And again, for our listeners who like know nothing about the world mm-hmm. of drag in general, I mean, drag is an art form in the way that painting is an art form.
Definitely.
You can have abstract painters, realist painters, hyper realism, and that's drag is the same.
That's a perfect way of describing it. Mm-hmm. So what's frustrating as a performance artist, who uses drag as one aspect of their performance, is that most people will see someone who considers themselves to be doing drag, and they'll assume that, you kind of, due to society's notion of what drag is nowadays, it is, you kind of have to be a gay man who is performing as a hyper-feminine woman. And
if you want to get booked on a RuPaul's Drag Race,
exactly, you gotta, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and this is what happens when things go mainstream, mm-hmm. they get watered down,
definitely
for better, for worse, mm-hmm. usually for worse,
most certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So,
and we're super thankful to RuPaul, and we love you for like creating an industry around drag that was missing, mm-hmm. but of course,
you gotta try a little harder, yeah. And smarter. I think that's another big thing, is that most people don't realize that, like, sometimes it's not working harder, it's working smarter. Mm-hmm. And realizing that drag is such an enigmatic and endlessly beautiful mm-hmm. thing.
People, specifically women themselves.
Exactly.
There's so many different ways to be
exactly,
beautiful.
Exactly, yes. Ooh. Exactly. So there's
some
of
it's very ugly.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that's what's so cool about drag, is that now you're getting all these drag performers who are like, some are clowns, some are gore queens, some are punk queens, some are like me, who are just an animal thing. there's so many different ways, and I mean, not even to like go as too far as to say like there, it's not even a feminine essence sometimes, it's drag kings. Mm-hmm. So that's what I find kind of frustrating about mainstream drag. So mm-hmm. that's why I really love this party, is just because we try to highlight queer drag and like a more inclusive version of drag. So the performance piece that I did for Unicorn most recently was one where I was embodying her, or I call her Gaia. Mm-hmm. The piece I did, it was two songs and a video projection behind me. And so the first portion was Begin Again by Purity Ring. Basically, the lyrics or the chorus go, "You be the moon, I'll be the earth. Let's begin again." And sort of it sort of begs from the earth's perspective for existence to start over again because she can't do it any longer. Mm-hmm. And so the video projection includes like the migration of manatees or caribou or microscopic plant growth, and then it moved, and through that performance, the beginning of the performance, you see me giving little flower buds to the audience, and I have a distinct number of 10 of them in my hands, and until I had the last one, and it switched over to my idol, Anoni. If you don't know Anoni, I highly recommend you look into her. She herself is a witch, but it's A-N-O-H-N-I. She was formerly known as Antonine the Johnsons, who, like, again, like, definitely look into all of her discography, because she's truly fantastic. Yes, please.
You said the name, and I know this name. Mm-hmm. So when the film version of Wigstock came out,
okay,
Lee Bowery did a performance where he gave birth to his assistant.
Yeah,
was strapped to his body and then covered in like a belly sort of costume, and then he gave birth to her on the stage. Now, I'm gonna put a clip in the show notes. Y'all have to see Lee Bowery giving birth. It's one of my favorite pieces of art in the world. But I know this this music because when Lee Bowery originally, I have my eyes closed because I'm trying to conjure the memory, so pardon me. He originally performed it to "All You Need Is Love" by the Beatles.
Okay.
And of course, there was no way they were getting the rights to put that in the movie.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
So Anoni, not re-recorded, but like recorded this kind of like love kind of same idea. And far as I'm concerned, is better than the Beatles. And she said, you know, I just recorded it off. It's horrible, and I apologize to the Beatles, and I apologize to Lee Bowery. But for me, I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, like, no. I'll put the clip. Anyway, yeah, please definitely. Keep talking.
The song from Anoni was called Marrow. And Marrow dives into, from the perspective of us as collective humanity, taking from the earth, anthropomorphizing her into a feminine essence. I'm not going to say female, but a feminine essence. And it's talking about sort of like drawing connections between burning, like mass forest fire burning, as burn her hair, or acid salt flats that are chemically induced by humanity as like burn her skin and things like that. So then the video transitions over to me, the video transitions over to forest fires and oil mines and all this destruction on earth. And at that point I only have one flower left, and I get very, very emotional at that point because to me the song is just deeply, deeply emotional. And when I get into it, I really start to feel like she's with me in that moment. And that's why I really love performance. It's a way for me to connect with her and feel her run through me.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And basically at that point, a friend of mine who in this case is embodied as humanity, throws me down into a chair and ties me to the chair, and pretends, I'm using air quotations, mm-hmm. Pretends to throw gasoline on me, and watches me burn. But before I am completely, killed off, I manage to free myself and gather my last remaining resource, which is the last flower.
which you've held.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And not given away.
Exactly.
Which is a great metaphor for self-care, witches.
Yes.
Carry on. Keep one and little flower bud for yourself.
Exactly. And then this is where it turns really sad. No matter how much pain and harm she's endured, she continues to want to give no matter what. And so she basically, the end of the song is the words, "We are all Americans now." And I proceed to cry my eyes out and motion to give my last remaining resource. And I have a number of people in the audience with laser pointers, sort of like giving the illusion that there's like rifles pointed at me.
The red dot.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like even as she's trying to give no matter what and like no matter how much pain she's in, she consistently wants to give, and all humanity does mm-hmm. is treat her with disrespect and harm. So, and violence. So, yeah, that's, it's pretty heavy-handed and not what most people are thinking they're getting themselves into at a drag performance, but, I mean, now I've taken it into, my performance art has, been hugely inspired by Buto, which is,
Okay, for those of you who don't know, I would love to do an entire episode about Buto one day. It's a Japanese dance form, like modern-ish, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll let Jackie talk about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm totally like just a beginner in it, and I've only been practicing it for a few years.
Just a beginner, only been practicing for a few years.
there are masters that have been doing it their entire lives. Mm-hmm. So I don't even want to begin to say that I'm an authority on the matter, but just around the philosophy of Buto and the movement and the grotesque amount of beauty in the movement, it's just, it stirs something in everybody that it's inexplainable. It's just crazy. So
one of the creators of Buto, I think, described it as like in Western dance and ballet, it's very much reaching to the sky.
Yes.
Whereas in Buto, it's getting very close mm-hmm. to the earth and touching the ground, even rolling around on the ground. It's a completely different appreciation of nature.
Exactly, mm-hmm. writhing around and diving into those things about like birth and death, and some of them have stated that to practice Buto is to look at something grotesque and not turn away until eventually you see the beauty in it.
Again, witchcraft.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So I definitely see the two as linked, and so now my performance, just because of the difficult situation of being a trans woman that does drag, I've kind of stopped calling myself a drag queen. I never
just
really
a
was.
Queen?
Yeah, I'm just a queen. But now my performance art, I'm just a performance artist. Mm-hmm. Now my pieces are a lot more about my status as human, and trying to examine the connection that humanity has with the earth, and not just my connection, but as I see humanity's connection to the earth, or therefore the lack of connection with the earth. So if anyone's in Montreal, actually, you can definitely reach out to me, and I have several performances booked over the next little while, so I'd love to share it with everybody.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we'll definitely be all over this. Don't worry, listeners, you will hear about it.
Perfect.
You'll hear it here
Perfection.
Second. If you follow Jackie on Instagram, you'll hear it there first.
Perfect. Yes, exactly.
And you'll hear it on Missing Witches second.
Exactly.
We're big fans.
Oh, I'm big fans of you too. Yeah. So basically I'm through performance art, I think that's been a big way for me to connect both my artistic practice and my biology practice, but also deeper to my spiritual practice. I think now somehow with doing ritual since I was in my early teens, I've become very accustomed to ritual movement and dance practice in my spiritual practice, so I think it was only like a matter of time before it manifested itself into a performance-based interaction. So yeah, and I'm just deeply fascinated in terms of like the methodology behind ritual and how
because like we talked about in the lab, like methodology is ritual.
Exactly.
But
yes.
It's just how we
exactly. And it's all in the perception of the context that you're looking at it in.
What are your thoughts on speaking of performance, the Judith Butler? The gender is performative.
Yeah.
You know. What are your thoughts on that?
Interesting. Judith is a great gal. She's got lots of really hot topics that are absolutely incredible. I think one of the biggest things around gender, which I'm assuming we want to talk to a lot about today.
Yeah, for sure.
Judith said at one point, I forget exactly what article, so don't directly quote me here.
Email
but,
us if you have problems.
Yeah.
missingwitches@gmail.com. Leave Jackie alone.
Exactly. and basically Judith had stated that every gender is all-encompassingly a performance, because at the end of the day, when you get home, you take off your clothes and you lay at home naked, and in that moment you are without a gender. Gender is completely performative, and I think a big thing that we should clarify just really loosely on, because I don't want to dive into the dynamics of this too deeply, but huge thing, like, sexuality and gender are two very, very different things.
Okay, listeners, we started out assuming that you know this, and maybe you don't, and you know what? That is okay.
Yeah.
We're here to learn, so
exactly.
Why don't you explain to our listeners who may not
definitely
know.
Definitely. So, sexuality is who you are attracted to, and it is a more biological thing, but even then...
we deal with these complicated and nuanced and very singular experiences of life.
It is.
We can't say this is how it is.
Exactly.
Jackie's not going to sit here and say,
no.
This is how it is for trans people.
Exactly.
Because this is only how it is
this
for
This is
Jackie.
Only for my my experience. So, and what's interesting, I mean, perfect example, like, I grew up as a non-binary person who more so erred on the side of homosexuality. And then I began my transition, and I started to fully realize who I was, and now it's like, wait, I'm not homosexual, which is, it's so crazy, that breakthrough moment in the clouds where you're like, wait a minute, this whole time I've been saying and like... strengthening myself with, like, yes, you're strong and you're gay and
queer,
it's okay.
And proud,
yeah.
And,
and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm a strong, independent trans woman who's just doing her thing. And I'm not gay.
Hey, straight
I'm,
pride.
Like, yeah, I'm just
the
like,
only
I'm like,
straight pride.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, wait. Am I straight? That's crazy. My whole life, I kept telling myself, I'm not straight. I'm not straight. I kept telling people, I'm not straight. And now I'm just like, you know what? Sexuality completely changes, because sexuality is just the label that you put on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for me, I would more so categorize myself as like a bisexual, pansexual, I guess. I'm not even sure. Things surprise me every day.
For our listeners who maybe you've never heard the word pansexual, it basically just means like anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody
yeah.
that's rad. I don't care
exactly.
if you're trans, what kind of
yeah.
genitals you have, if you have breasts or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm
yeah.
attracted to like humanity.
Exactly. It's just
so
an essence.
Pansexual means if you're.
Exactly.
If you didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think sexuality and gender are two completely opposing things. It's weird to say that they're correlated, because they technically are in a definition sense.
Mm-hmm. And in a conventional sense.
In a conventional sense, they're correlated, but they're not causated.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, yeah, it's a very deeply...
Okay, so yeah. Very personal. It's, very personal yeah, it's, to you.
It's, yeah.
How did you know that you were a trans woman and not, like, a femme, gay?
Yeah.
How did you personally, like, did you have a moment? Like,
I mean, I've always felt more on the non-binary side. Mm-hmm. I think once I started, I think once I started to really start noticing the effects of this beautiful thing called aging.
Aging, ooh, I love it.
Yeah, it definitely is. I started to realize things that I didn't identify with anymore.
Puberty.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And as I grew, I started to notice things about my body. I started to notice just a feeling inside me that it's really hard to explain, yeah, but it's just I didn't feel like I was completely 100% in the right body. So it wasn't really a huge epiphany. It's just the turning point where I was like, okay, now's your time to shine. Now's your time to get on with it. I was in an extremely abusive relationship, and coming out of that,
a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my boyfriend at the time. Yeah. Anyway, don't want to give him too much air.
No.
But
being in abusive relationships affects us.
Oh yes.
It affects us more definitely. Than we probably even know.
Oh yeah. No, definitely.
So we don't concentrate on our abusers, but we also don't pretend that they didn't affect us. Right?
Exactly.
Carry on.
That is 100% correct. Okay. So, I kind of just had a moment. I gathered up all the strength that I had left. My friends and family were there and supporting me through it all, and they were just like, "You got to get rid of this guy." Yeah, I've been hugely privileged with that, and so basically, I kicked him out. And I started to unravel my trauma and deal with some stuff, some unaddressed issues in my life. And I was like, you know what? There is something that has been eating me away for years and years and years. And maybe now is the point at where I finally start to try to address this thing in my life. And so that's kind of where my transition started. Was after that, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to try and do anything else except me. Mm-hmm. So I've only listened to myself about it all. I think that was like the huge epiphany moment where I was like, okay, now's the time to do it.
Yeah. And again, I think being a witch means that like it's all. And so we talk about listening to other people and engaging and connecting, but we also talk about listening to only yourself.
Mm-hmm. You yes.
know? But we as witches, somehow we make room for both of these things, mm-hmm. to listen only to ourselves, but also yeah. to everything always, all the time.
Definitely. Yeah. yeah.
So yeah. you took a moment coming out of abuse. And again, we see this a lot, yeah. especially with witches. I was just talking to Marigold about Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay, yeah.
Medusa was a rape victim, and that's how she became a quote-unquote monster.
Yeah.
You know, but you can see the snakes as power.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Anger.
Yeah.
Righteous anger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think another aspect of femininity that most people don't realize is, yeah, sure, Earth is giving, and she's beautiful, and she is loving and caring, but also at the same time, it's just as much a part of her feminine essence to be destructive and to have those moments of just a volatile vulnerability and like just let it go and be angry and that is just as much a part of femininity.
As a femininity, we yeah. are volcanoes as much as
exactly.
we are.
Yeah.
A sweet ocean breeze.
Exactly. Yes. Volcanoes. Perfect.
Yes. yes. Good.
So, and I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize is, that there is that duality with femininity. Femininity isn't just about, keeping the soft, warm, nurturing nature to ourselves. It's like, it's okay to be like a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel those moments. So yeah, I really, I lost
a lot of thread. A lot of that is like when we embrace the term witch,
mm-hmm.
we're embracing yes. the volcano.
Exactly.
And allowing ourselves to take up space physically with our voices,
mm-hmm.
making sounds, yeah, you know, performing. Exactly. Being on stage, all of yeah. these things that we're just walking down the street in our
exactly.
own self-confidence.
Yeah. I mean, to just be, like, visibly femme is an act of rebellion.
Mm-hmm. A political act.
Yeah, political mm-hmm. act, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, there's
and
so...
And certainly, sorry to interrupt
yeah,
you,
no,
but it's
definitely.
Certainly, like, the way that our society has gone. I mean, people don't look twice at a woman wearing pants.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you want to be edgy as yeah. a man, all you have to do is, like, put on a skirt and you're the edgiest
oh, yeah.
of edgy. So
oh, yeah.
It's very strange how
yeah.
we're... How we...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even
it,
know.
No, 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 sentence. No. Exactly. It's, and I mean, like, even if I think about, like, my experience as a non-binary person before I started my transition versus after, like, I would have a large variety of suitors. and now that I've grown breast tissue and started, like,
your own hormones?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, like, all of a sudden, all of them are gone. I'm like, what was the... I don't dress any differently. Right. I don't dress any differently. It's just now that I identify as one thing that is on the more feminine side of things, I'm, like, completely off limits.
I'm like,
it's so funny.
How much do we lose when we succumb to essentialism? I
yes.
am this, and therefore I won't do that.
Yeah.
Like, these people who aren't dating you are really losing out.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I assume it's because they're like, I'm a gay man.
Exactly.
And you're a woman now. And
yep.
so that doesn't...
And it took me a while to... unknot that ball of mess in my head. I was
sure.
like, why? Like, we were talking for months and now... No? Mm-hmm. What? Like, why won't you have coffee with me? but, like... It was a huge moment where I was just like, I was almost like misgendering myself in my own head for a few moments. I was like, why aren't you interested in me anymore? Why did, and then I was like, oh wait, yeah, I have tits now. And like, I am a woman now. So it's like, there's both a bodily change in my own body. And another clarification for some people who don't know, not all trans women take hormones, so and not all trans women are, how do I say this, visually present themselves as feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for myself, I don't really take too much care in trying to, like, wear low-cut tops and high heels. And exactly. Yeah, again,
mm-hmm.
that's never been me. It never will be me.
Same.
Yeah, so, yeah, it, and so I think that, and that's perfectly fine. I'm just as much a very strong trans woman. If I don't want to shave my legs and I don't want to wear a low-cut top, I just want to wear my, like,
which
scuba shirt.
It's confusing for people because they have this very generic
yeah.
idea of femininity, and if you want to be a woman,
yeah.
quote, you want to be a woman, that means you must want flower crowns. And,
yeah.
I mean, I love a flower crown.
I love
that
a flower
maybe it was
crown.
Bad.
Yeah.
Like, high-heeled shoes and long nails that make
yeah.
it so you can't play your guitar. That's
yeah, exactly.
Again.
Okay, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I never got... I mean, I love all the y'all's manicures,
mm-hmm.
but, like, how do you live? Like, please email me and tell me
yeah.
how you go about your life with these things. I can't. And I hate walking in heels. And, again,
yeah.
like, I'm a
yeah.
cisgender... 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
you
no,
know,
and
you're not
yeah, exactly.
In
yeah.
terms of our physicality,
yeah,
really.
Definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, and the heels, I've just, over the past few months, I've just realized, you know what? People already are like, oh, wow, you're so tall. I'm like, really? I'm only 5'3. completely lying to their
yeah.
face, and they're like, what? That's wrong. because I'm 6'2,
mm-hmm.
if anyone else
mm-hmm.
who hasn't met me know, doesn't know. So, like, when I wear a pair of heels, I feel like I'm really trying to perform some act of hyper femininity.
Mm.
And I think that's perfectly fine. I love my heels, but at the same time, I would much rather walk around in my toe shoes,
mm-hmm.
And be very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that that's a very important part to touch on with transness is that not all transness looks the same.
Not even close.
Not even close at all.
Listen to part two of my conversation with Jackie Beaumont now.